Well, greetings everyone. I'm all smiles up here today. It's a great week and very happy to be with everyone. Everyone can relate to this under the age of 15. What I'm going to talk about today is your first love. Yes. So I want everyone to remember back. Don't remember back too far. Remember back to your first date. Dating another human being, not a computer or, you know, a machine or automobile, but an actual human. Remember the feeling. Sorry, that was a little cheesy. Remember the thoughts that ran through your head. Remember how you became superhuman. And quite frankly, I did not do word problems so well in my life. I think that someone dating was the one that created those, because after your date, you were thinking, okay, mathematically, when is she going to get home? Because there was landlines back then, right? So you had to actually go back and calculate, well, she's probably home at this point, or probably he's home at this point. Maybe I should call, maybe I shouldn't call. The emotions that rage through you, you do things. You become mathematical geniuses. So, and then you call them, and do you remember that phone, and it was ringing all of a sudden, beep, 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 back in the old days? Call waiting. Yeah, actually, call waiting was invented in 1969, but most people didn't actually have it on their phones, so you would hit that. But anyhow, that's not the point of today. My point of today is, now remember when you first discovered God. Your calling. Was it overwhelmingly filled with joy? Now, that is the first love that I am talking about. For some of us, though, it was different, because we're second generation Christians, third generation Christians, and fourth. It's challenging. Maybe we had to go through some trials. Maybe we had to go through situations in order to develop that first love. It was not necessarily love at first sight, but we knew the truth. It just, we needed to get there. Now, over in Thessalonians, we can read how Paul describes his love for the Thessalonian church. That's in our reading program this week, 1 Thessalonians 1 through 5. We can turn over there. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, 1 through 5. So, I'll summarize what he's saying here, because we've all read it this week. The church, I love you so much. I want to be there with you. I'm here for you. I have love for you. And I do love the intro to all Paul's. It says, God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ the Son. Those two Godheads. So, now, I don't normally quote from the Washington Post because it's, well, the Washington Post. But what is love at first sight or the first love? And anyhow, it says, the scientific research on this topic is thin. But the collective wisdom among psychologists says it's a lot like skydiving. It means when you jump out of the plane for the very first time, you probably are going to remember it. But when you're jumped or pushed the 10th time, Anyhow, I have 3 points to today. The first point is you do not know nearly as much as you think when you're first called. It's kind of like that 17-year-old who thinks they know everything until they hit 18. And then they're like, oh, I'm 18 now. I didn't know anything when I was 17. I know everything now when I'm 18. So if I could ask you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And again, this is Paul talking about the church. You're probably very familiar with this passage. 1 Corinthians 3. We can start, just read 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am with Paul, another says, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? So this is him. This is Paul telling the church that they're not growing. Reading from the kind of the Nelson Study Bible, what it kind of indicates on the scripture, you know, it reads that the carnal people are not the natural men that were referred to in verse 2 in the previous chapter. A carnal person is a spiritually immature Christian, a spiritual infant. Paul did not expect the Corinthian churches to mature in Christ at that time, but he did expect them to grow. An immature Christian naturally lacks many Christian traits, but no one should expect this condition to last. Paul was surprised that the Corinthians had not yet grown in their spiritual maturity or became able to distinguish the difference between good and evil. Well, that's kind of the basics, and I think that we've got that. We understand that. When you first come into the church, you do not know the Bible as God is just calling you. You may think you do. You may know enough, but there's more to learn. Leads into point two. You must go through ups and downs to maintain your passion in Christ. Now, I won't go in depth on this point. I did give a sermon once on the traits, on trials, trials why. Kind of like summarizing that an hour and 15 minutes down into 10 seconds, it says, trials are part of our calling. They are necessary for us to enter the kingdom of God. Trials are designed to produce fruit in us. God promises to help us in times of trials. Trials make us rely on God and not ourselves. And trials are a test to God, are a test so God can learn about us. Well, God would test us and wants to know about us. There is a Facebook group that I'm a part of. It's church members from different churches around the world, around the United States, I guess. And there was a gentleman this week that said, I've lost my passion. I know it's right. I don't have that passion. Man, I thought about that all day, how to respond to that, to lose your passion. And then I didn't say it, but what I thought was, you know what always motivates me, that makes me run back to God? A trial. When a trial comes upon me, there's no way. I have no hope except in Christ, because I know I can't handle it on my own. And then throw your burdens on God, and then you feel better. And then you need to learn and go through it. Now, the third point, and this is probably no surprise, you must endure to the end. If you haven't grown in Christ and you just keep on keeping on, that's not really enduring. That is maintaining. That is what Paul was telling the Corinth church. And we did hear in the message that the Corinth church was a horrible place. Corinth, and, you know, around them, it was a bad place. Some that even the Gentiles have never even seen, the perversions. So this was challenging for the church. But if you don't grow, then how do you digest prophecy? And we know a third of the Bible is prophecy. So how do you understand it? Well, to endure to the end is a wonderful, but how do you endure when you know the end is coming? When the end is coming in your lifetime? We don't know the exact time, but we know the season. We know it will be given to us, and it's around us. Look around. Look at foreign policy that's going on right now. So we're in a race. And there's many analogies in the Bible about athletics and the Olympics. We're in a race and we have laps to run. Some of us have ran 10 laps. Some of us have ran 10,000 laps. But as we come down that final stretch, now is the time to get your second breath. Now is the time to push very hard to the very end. This is the most important race of your life. We must study more, pray more, and watch more. It is so beautiful to see everyone here with the same goal. We are of like mind. That is, we are all seeking first the kingdom of God.